First, we now know that two lanes of I-40 East are set to be closed both tonight and tomorrow night. This was in the works a couple of weeks ago, and it got delayed due to weather, but it will be going on starting tonight. It'll be near the split of the two interstates west of Hillsboro. One lane will be closed each night for construction, and they are prepping to add a third lane, which they're hoping will eventually improve safety and congestion along that stretch of road. According to the State Department of Transportation, the right lane of I-85 North, I-40 East will close from 9 p.m. tonight through 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And the second lane on the right side will close around midnight on Friday and open back up again on 7 a.m. on Saturday. North Carolina Department of Transportation says that this will ensure that at least one lane will be open for exit to I-40 East throughout the work. We've also got several repaving projects in progress in Hillsboro. So if you've been driving around town and noticed some road or lane closures, it's repaving that should be wrapped up fairly soon. In state news, lots of activity in the General Assembly this week as Republican lawmakers are moving quickly on a number of controversial issues, including several anti-LGBTQ bills, a bill to expand school vouchers, and another bill that targets higher education. Democrats and other left-leaning residents are largely opposed to those bills, but what can you do to influence the legislature when your own individual representatives are already on your side? Speaking with 97.9 The Hill last week, State Senator Greg Meyer said the key is to join your voice with others.
I mean, it's about a team game. If you're a member of a professional group where you have a professional organization, like let's say you're a nurse, you need to join up with the nurses' professional associations to advocate on a statewide level for some of these things. If you're someone who's not part of an organization like that, join up with some other civic organization, some advocacy organization about a cause that you believe in, because those organizations are the ones that work across the state with all legislators, and they need a base of people to help drive their energy, whether that be to come down to Raleigh for a lobby day or to send emails or to make donations to help pay for them to have a paid lobbyist, whatever it is, they're all people-driven organizations.
State Senator Greg Meyer speaking there. Those bills are all quite controversial, but there have been some very much bipartisan approved bills going through the state legislature as well. After years of debate, North Carolina lawmakers came to an agreement in March to expand the state's Medicaid services. The legislation, which made North Carolina the 40th state to expand the federal health insurance program, drew praise from health advocates, elected officials, and residents. But with a recent change at the federal level, some North Carolinians could be left in a health care gap before that Medicaid expansion becomes active. Here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with the details.
North Carolina's Medicaid expansion bill is expected to make around 600,000 more adults eligible to join the low-income health care service, where before they made too much money to qualify. The change, however, is not set to go into effect until after North Carolina's government passes its budget this summer. Just a few days after the State House celebrated its approval of Medicaid expansion, a large federal provision expired. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act, or FFCRA, officially ended on April 1st and dropped its continuous coverage for Medicaid that was put into place as a response to COVID-19. According to Sierra Zachary, who's an assistant professor at UNC's Department of Health Policy, that expiration was an important mark for some Americans using the federal healthcare program.
For the last 3 years, people haven't had to worry about the annual recertification or basically reapplying to keep their Medicaid coverage.
As a result, states who have not yet expanded Medicaid have been alerting those previously covered by the FFCRA's provision that they're no longer eligible or need to be recertified. Providers and state governments are calling and mailing those affected to walk them through their other options. Zachary said that North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services is doing this too, although the change back for affected North Carolinians will not become official until July. She said those who miss the messages, or those who lack the resources to find other options, may be left in a coverage gap.
that might lead to a lot of uncertainty or having people to recalculate how do they prioritize functions in their households. Will they decide to put gas in the car or food on the table, or will they delay getting health care and maybe rely on emergency departments or urgent care? So I think that puts that financial strain that many people haven't had to think about over the last few years.
Zachary added that a coverage gap could affect and complicate more people's health care as time goes on. While the North Carolina General Assembly has the ability to override a governor's veto, if a lengthy budget process extends past July, there would be a longer wait for Medicaid expansion to start. That's why Zachary said she believes the state would benefit most from removing the budget stipulation in the law and rolling out expansion now.
I do think the most reliable option would be for North Carolina to initiate their Medicaid expansion sooner so that we don't see people making difficult decisions about where would they get their health care in an emergency or just, you know, for regular upkeep of their well-being.
Zachary said that not only would enacting expansion provide that sense of security eligible Americans had under continuous coverage, but it would not create much of a strain on the state and healthcare workers.
Yes, it would be increased work for folks who are helping North Carolinians enroll and keep their coverage, but I think we have the groundwork laid out so that if our state legislature decides and recognizes that if there are delays in when the budget gets passed, that what would be best to keep people healthy and working and kids in school would be to implement Medicaid expansion now.
In the meantime, Zachary urged North Carolinians and Americans affected by the expiration of the federal FFCRA to look out for updates. She said to take note of what providers or the state health department say must be recertified. And while continuous coverage may never be available to all Medicaid recipients again, Zachary also said she hopes states will explore methods to make renewal of coverage easier for residents. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. We turn to local government news now. The Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education meets tonight at 6 o'clock in the Lincoln Center. They'll discuss how to better set board priorities and future agenda items. Hillsborough got some big local government news last week when Mayor Jen Weaver announced she will not seek re-election this fall. Weaver's been serving the town of Hillsborough since 2013 when she was first elected to the town board of commissioners. She was elected to her first term as mayor in 2019. Earlier this week, she told me that some of the factors that led her to this decision.
When I first ran for office in 2013, my kids were really small. They were 6 and 3. And so now, you know, almost a decade has gone by and they are a sophomore in high school, and the other one will be starting eighth grade next year, and just really feeling a desire to give more attention to that part of my life, the parenting part of my life, and just enjoying my children while I still have them in the house. I am not personally great. You know, I think we all have different skills, but I have not, it's very hard for me to leave the mayor part that lives in my head at the door. I'm kind of always thinking about, you know, it's been this way the whole time I've been in elected office. It's always there. I'm always thinking about things. You know, I thought about it for a long time before I made the official announcement, and also wanted to make that in a timely fashion so that other people could think about how that might affect their plans, of course. It's not easy, and I know it'll be hard again when it's official in December, because I really care about the community and I care so much about the work. But it is the right time for me to step away and see what comes next.
Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver there. You can find that full conversation in the News on the Hill section of chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, and I am pleased to report that we had a very positive evening on the diamond yesterday. That's for both the Diamond Heels baseball team and softball teams. Let's start with baseball as we edge ever closer to the end of the regular season and into ACC tournament play. Tar Heels got a much-needed win against a ranked team. Also, I got to feel like this is a bit of a confidence booster. They won a low-scoring game, which has happened very little so far this year. It was a pitcher's duel. Ended up beating East Carolina 2-1 for the final. Three Tar Heel pitchers combining to hold the Pirates to just four hits in the game. Congratulations to them. Over on the softball side of things, Carolina wrapped up the regular season, and they did it with quite the comeback. They were down six runs at one point, but stormed back to beat Furman 10-8. Tar Heels scoring eight runs in an explosive sixth inning, and leading the way with a three-run homer was Isabella Emmerling. Congratulations to her on the biggest hit of the year. UNC's regular season is over. They are one game under 500, but they are scorching hot in the season. They'll try to keep that going in the ACC tournament that gets started in South Bend next week. Meanwhile, the UNC men's golf team's headed back to the NCAA tournament again, hoping this year for a national title. Third-ranked team in the nation entering the tournament, they'll be the top seed at the Salem, South Carolina Regional. That's going to happen May 15th through 17th. And the way this works in golf, they got 14 teams at each regional location, and the top five from each regional location advance to the NCAA championships, which will be held in Arizona at the end of the month. UNC tied for fifth in the last two NCAA championships, and they have a stacked roster this year, so they are expecting very big things in both of those upcoming tournaments. Looking to hockey now, the Hurricanes got an opening game win in their second round seven-game series against the New Jersey Devils. They will have game two in Raleigh tomorrow night at 8. Durham Bulls took another couple of losses since the last time we talked. Yesterday, 9-1 at Norfolk, and then today they lost 5-4. The Tide are off to a scorching hot start here. They are 22-7 to start the year. Bulls are still three games above 500 themselves. One last bit of news from the high school ranks now. The High School Athletics Association for North Carolina yesterday approved a measure that would allow high school students to profit off their name, image, and likeness. Those rules would take effect July 1st, but the state Senate yesterday passed a bill that would override that vote and shift NIL authority to the State Board of Education. We'll keep you posted as this story continues to develop.